Brother Mark Foster of the Pentecostals of Twin Cities. We've known you a long time, Brother Foster. And I'm telling you, God has used this man. He's been around the world and back again. But he loves the Lord. And what a preacher of the gospel. Amen. It is our joy and privilege to give to him this pulpit. Come on, Brother Foster, and pray.
Oh, let's lift up Jesus together right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him right now. Somebody raise your voice. Somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Do you like what God's doing in this conference? Hallelujah. What power, what majesty, what glory is here right now. I think you ought to just reach out to somebody, ladies to a lady, men to a man, men to men, and pray for somebody again right now. There's power in agreement. There's power when we agree together. Oh, I magnify you, Lord. Oh, I magnify you, Lord. Oh, I magnify you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you, Brother Carlton Watkins, for bringing such a powerful message from the Word of God. Ministered to my heart. I appreciate the three messages that I have heard. The two I heard last night. The one that I've already heard this morning. It's wonderful to be here in this great church, in this college. Great here to be here with my friend, Brother Clark. Appreciate Brother and Sister Clark, the great work that they're doing. Appreciate Brother Kraft. And isn't this a beautiful place? Beautiful place erected to the glory of God. I give honor to the Mississippi District Superintendent and my longtime friend, Brother Travis. Appreciate him so very much, Brother McLean, and then so many. There's so many friends that I see here today that I could not begin to call names. But God is doing something very special in this meeting today. It's been here, no doubt, from the beginning. I know it was here when I got here last night. And I'm glad that I braved the elements to get here. It was really bad where I come from. And it's just a couple of hours away, but it was really bad. In fact, I couldn't even talk to my wife last night. Finally got a hold of her about 9:15 this morning. And power was out, phone was out, and they've had quite a time over there. But I'm glad that I weathered the elements and made it. I have been blessed. I have been ministered to. I have been spoken to. And I feel that God has something for us yet. God has spoken to me a message. I want to read today out of the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. We are living in the greatest hour that the church has ever known. I'd like to encourage every preacher. I'd like to encourage every saint of God. And I would like to encourage every Bible college student that this is the greatest hour that the church has ever known. God is giving the greatest revival today, right now, that's ever been visited upon the face of the earth. And you and I are privileged to be part of it. Luke chapter 19, one verse of Scripture, verse 10. The words of Jesus, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you say that together with me? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you stretch your hands out towards heaven right now and ask God to anoint in a mighty way? Haranda yandala kala bahasha. Move mightily this day, God. Move mightily. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you for what you're doing in this conference. Hayakala bahasha. I feel your power. I feel your presence. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. Lloyd C. Douglas wrote the much acclaimed book, The Robe, many years ago. He also wrote a book entitled The Magnificent Obsession. It was about a young man that caused a girl to go blind. And he felt so badly about it that his obsession became restoring her sight. He went to university. He went to medical school. He became a very skilled doctor. And finally the day came when he was able to restore that girl's sight to her. And so I'm taking as my title this morning the title of Lloyd C. Douglas's book, The Magnificent Obsession. And Brother Travis, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to hear it again. I struggled with it. I prayed. I said, God, I know Brother Travis is going to be there. And he's already heard this message. But God said, there are some young people. This is what God told me. There are some young people that must be impacted. There are some young people that must be reached. And if I can touch just one young person in this house, if I can touch just one preacher in this house today, if I can touch just one saint of God in this house today, it will be worth it. The sun is sinking low on the western horizon of time. Darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness the people. We're living in the midst of some of the most turbulent times and changing times that the earth has ever seen. There is upheaval everywhere evident in our culture. We live in an age, in an hour, when babies are having babies. Abortion has become the scourge of America. We have seen some parents that prize their BMWs more than they prize their children. In the October 1999 issue of the Reader's Digest, it tells of a mother who left her 10-day-old daughter in the car with the windows rolled up tight in the 90-plus degree August heat for 7 hours while she gambled in a South Carolina casino. Ours is a day when the rich children and the poor children alike are blowing their minds on drugs. Ours is the day when people casually move in and out with each other. Ours is the age when children are killing children. And we're all wondering how safe our schools really are. Ours is an era when the family is in peril. Today we have single parent families. We have step families. We have so-called gay families. We have non-marital families. Ours is an age when the family is in jeopardy and in trouble today. In the land of affluence, the homeless population is literally burgeoning. But I
submit to you today that there is an answer. I submit to somebody today that there is a hope. I'm preaching to somebody today that there is a bomb in Gilead. I'm preaching to somebody today that we have what the world needs. I'm preaching to somebody today that my God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. I'm talking to somebody right now. My God has His hand on you. I'm preaching to somebody in this house right now. You are somebody's answer and you don't even know it. I'm talking to somebody. It's time to get stirred up. It's time to get shaken up. It's time to get moved. It's time to get motivated. It's time to be changed. Calvary brings a hope to the hopeless. And we have what the masses are searching for. We have the greatest preachers in the world, in the United Pentecostal Church. And when people walk in to our churches, they come in and they begin to feel the regenerating power of preaching. Don't ever underestimate it, sir. Don't ever underestimate it, ma'am. There's power in the preached Word of God. I said there's power in preaching. Preaching is the truth set on fire. Preaching is the gift of God. Preaching is the moral conscience of a nation. Preaching is the throne room of society. Preaching is doubt's healing balm. Preaching is worship's entree. Preaching is revival's forerunner. Preaching is the church's heart. Preaching is love's smile. Preaching is sin's greatest adversary. Preaching is faith's food. And I like this. Preaching is frustration's funeral. Preaching is fear's failure. Preaching is doubt's demise. Preaching is depression's death. Preaching is disappointment's decline. Preaching is the mender of broken relationships. Preaching is the healer of broken hearts. Preaching is the revival of broken dreams. Preaching is hell's greatest enemy. Preaching is the sinner's best friend. Preaching is the saint's delight. Preaching saved Nineveh. Preaching ignited Pentecost. Thank God for preaching. Hallelujah. Somebody's catching the vision right now. Somebody's dreaming the dream right now. Somebody saying, God's going to use me. Hallelujah. Please be seated. But hear me. And hear me well this morning. As receivers of the heritage, as keepers of the flame, as possessors of this great gospel, I'm preaching to everybody in this house. You and I this morning have an awesome responsibility. I'm preaching to somebody today that the burden of proof rests upon our shoulders to reach the lost at any cost. Is anybody hearing me preach today? Brother Frazier preached a beautiful message about having a move of God last night. We've got to have a move of God. He preached the upside of it. He preached the downside of it. But let me go just a step further. We got to have more than just a move of God inside these four walls. Is anybody hearing me preach? Is anybody hearing me preach? Yes, we've got to have a move of God when we come to church. But I got to have a move of God in my home. I got to have a move of God on my job. I got to have a move of God in the school. I got to have a move of God in the marketplace. I got to have a move of God in the mall. I got to have a move of God everywhere I go. Hallelujah. We talk about revival, but I want to challenge every one of you. You can be a revival. Hello. What I want to be is a revival looking for a place to happen. Is anybody hearing me preach? I'm not just going to have revival when I come to church, but I'm going to have revival on my job. I'm going to have revival in my home. I'm going to have revival everywhere I go. I am a revival looking for a place to happen. Please be seated. If I believe that heaven is real, I've got to tell somebody. If I believe that hell is hot, I've got to tell somebody. If I believe that lost humanity is going to spend eternity in a hell, I've got to tell somebody. If I believe that this Acts 2:38 message is the only means of salvation, I've got to tell somebody. How can I sit on a couch of complacency while souls are hurrying to hell? How can I enjoy the blessings, the manifold blessings of God, when I haven't even witnessed to my neighbor? You can be seated. What am I doing to show the love of God to somebody else? Is anybody hearing me preach this morning? Ours is such a narcissistic society. So many think only of themselves, only of instant gratification. But I'm declaring to you this morning that the church is no place for narcissism. God has blessed us. God's been good to me, Brother Clark. God has blessed every one of us. He's given us so much. And please feel my heart today. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm preaching to myself. But if God condemns you, and if God condemns me, so be it. But hear me today. I'm preaching out of a heart of love. We've got to get out of the four walls of the church. We've got to quit preaching to the choir. We've got to quit coming to church and just have church. But we've got to see souls born into the kingdom of God every time we walk through the doors of the church. And I've got to be responsible. Hallelujah. The scripture states, to whom much is given, much is required. I'm talking about the magnificent obsession of our Lord. The heartbeat of the church must be others. Charles Meigs wrote the poem Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me live for others, that I may live like thee. What I'm preaching to somebody today, that lordship that was preached so masterfully just a few moments ago. Friend, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ lived and he died for others. He died for those that were crucifying him as they were gambling for his garment at the foot of the cross. He cried, Father, forgive them. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hear me tonight or this morning, preachers. Hear me this morning, Bible school students. Hear me this morning, saints of God. This particular passage of Scripture records the magnificent obsession of our Lord. In this verse, He reveals to us His heart. He reveals to us His purpose. He tells us about His ministry. He is driven by destiny. He's determined by a dream. He's moved with a mission. He's captivated by a cause. He's propelled by a purpose. Is anybody hearing me today? And His purpose is the lost. When is the last time that I told somebody about Jesus? When is the last time that I endeavored to get somebody to come to church? When is the last time that I taught a Bible study? When is the last time that I won a soul? You see, men have written volumes about the divine purpose of Jesus' earthly ministry. But there's no place in the Scripture where He more clearly tells us about Himself and about His purpose and why He came to the earth robed in flesh. Hear me this morning, Bible college students. The ministry is more than this pulpit. Are you hearing me today? The ministry is more than wearing nice suits, buying beautiful shoes, driving a Lincoln Town Car, or the latest four-wheel drive vehicle, wearing a leather coat. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? If that's what you got in your mind, you need to get in the altar and you need to pray through. My magnificent obsession is not driving a bigger car, pastoring a bigger church, or living in a fancier home, but my magnificent obsession has got to be souls, 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 souls. What am I doing for the lost? What am I doing for the lost? Oh God, oh God, let me just say it. Hear me, Bible college students. I know preachers today, and I say this kindly, please feel my heart, that can literally preach the walls down. But they can't build a church because they can't win a soul. Is anybody hearing me? They think, and it's a travesty, but they think that all there is to it is hanging out there single and saying I'm in business and trying to motivate saints to win souls. Brother Travis, I've said it across the country. You may as well hear it too. I believe it. I don't apologize for it. I apologize if it offends somebody and if they don't like it. But I'd really like to see us change one aspect in the licensing process, application for our ministers. I believe it so strong. I believe it with my guts. I believe it with my heart. I don't believe anybody ought to be licensed to preach that has never won a soul. I believe it. I'm sorry if it crosses your theology. I don't mean to offend you. I love you. But what is this all about? It's not about this pulpit, but it's about souls. It's about the lost. God help me. Hear me today, young man. You want to be a preacher? Don't even try till you get out there and win a soul. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? You ought to be winning souls right here in Jackson while you're in Bible college. I said you ought to be winning souls. You ought to be putting souls in this church while you're in Bible college. What right do I have to stand behind the sacred desk if I've never won a soul? The magnificent obsession of our Lord Jesus Christ was the lost. And I submit to you today that the purpose of the body of Christ remains the same. It's the seeking and the saving of lost humanity. While I'm at it, let me just toss something else in. This won't cost you anything. Bible school students, don't lose your zeal. Don't ever get to be such a big preacher that you can't worship except when you're in the pulpit. Are you hearing me? Hear me. If you're going to build a revival church, if you're going to build a worshiping church, then you need to worship God. You need to learn to stand over here and worship God. Is anybody hearing me preach? Is anybody hearing me preach? The reason we had a worshiping church in North Carolina, the reason we got a worshiping church now, is because the ministry worshiped God. Is anybody hearing me preach? Is anybody hearing me preach? You never get too big time to quit worshiping. You never get too big time to quit winning souls. Hey, let me tell you, the greatest revival churches today in the land, they have two major characteristics. They've got many others. Number one, they're holiness-believing churches. But they're not that alone. They're not that alone. The Word without the Spirit is dead. But they're also worshiping churches. They know how to get on their feet. They know how to worship God. They know, hey, our worship is never going to run anybody off. That we want to keep. Please be seated. The obsession of Jesus Christ was to find the lost. And He made it abundantly clear that He would leave the 99 to go after one. Is anybody hearing me? To go after one. To go after one. To go after one. I ask you this morning, who are these folks that need reaching? Who are these others that we're talking about, we see them every day. He may be the man in the Nike running shoes jogging down the road. Or perhaps it's that individual dressed in the business suit carrying a computer case. Maybe it's the individual with the cell phone to his ear. Perhaps it's the one with the ragged jeans and a pocket full of marijuana. Maybe it's the student. Perhaps it's the unskilled worker. Maybe it's the upwardly mobile professional. Maybe it's the artist. Maybe it's the musician. Maybe it's the druggie. Maybe it's the prostitute. Perhaps it's the homeless. Or perhaps it's my neighbor. How long has it been since I've carried warm cookies next door to my neighbor? We preach and we sing about reaching the world, and sometimes we're unconcerned about our neighbor next door. Is anybody catching the vision? Is anybody dreaming the dream here this morning? I've got to be obsessed. I've got to be obsessed. I've got to be obsessed. I'm asking you today, preacher. I'm asking you today, pastor. I'm asking you today, saint of God. I'm asking you today, Bible college student. What have you done lately about reaching somebody? Has his obsession become my obsession? Many years ago, in London, England, the Salvation Army was having their annual convocation. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was lying on his deathbed. And so, a letter was brought to be read. They handed it to the man who was leading the conference. He opened it and he stepped to the podium and he announced, "I have a message from our founder, General Booth, and I'm going to read it. Dear delegates, others, signed, General Booth." What am I doing about others? What am I doing to help somebody? I've got to reach the lost. Now hear me, and hear me well. Somebody, I think, touched on it last night. We must reach the lost, whatever they are, wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever color they are, is anybody hearing me preach? I know I live in the South and I pastor in the South, but I'm not preaching to you any different than I preach in West Monroe, Louisiana. I've been pastoring there about 20 months now, and all they've heard is we've got to reach the blacks. We've got to reach the Hispanics. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? And you know what they do? That Southern church gets on their feet just like you are. When we start preaching about reaching the Hispanics, when we start preaching about reaching the blacks, they get on their feet. They shout hallelujah, and now they're bringing them in. I'm telling you, we have got to reach the lost of any race, any creed, any color, any language, any origin, any nationality. God, help me. Now buckle your seatbelts. I'm going to say something else. I'm not going to apologize for it. Because it's the God's truth. If you got a problem with it, pray through. We've got to reach the lost, whatever their social background. Now, you may want to hold it just a minute. Let me explain what I'm talking about. I have heard a few too many jokes or innuendos from the pulpit about the gay community. Is anybody hearing me? Hear me today, young preacher. The pulpit is no place to make a homosexual joke. You can go quiet on me. It's all right. I'm going to preach anyway. Because I'm telling you, just like the adulterer needs Jesus, just like the drunkard needs Jesus, just like the gambler needs Jesus, the gays need Jesus. Is anybody hearing me? I'm not saying we condone their lifestyle. I'm not saying that we condone them, but I'm telling you what we've got to do. We've got to make our churches open where they can come in and feel the love of Jesus Christ. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? Hello? Because if I believe God can change the adulterer, I believe God can change the homosexual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're seeing it in West Monroe. We call it acceptance without approval. We tell them, we got a mission statement. We tell them that it's against God. We tell them it's a sin. But we tell them that you can come to church here and you're going to feel the love of God in this place. And if you want to change, you can get the Holy Ghost and God will change you. Hey, we've got to reach the AIDS patient. I preach to our church that we may be the last hope of a dying AIDS patient before they go to hell. Oh, God. I'm talking about the lost. I'm talking about being obsessed. I believe if Jesus walked the earth in the flesh today, you see, he delivered prostitutes in his fleshly ministry when he walked the earth. I believe today he'd be delivering some gay folks. I believe that with all of my heart. Oh, God. I'm telling you, folks, we've got to become obsessed with the lost. I'm telling you, I can't write anybody off. Is anybody hearing me? I can't write anybody off. If they've got money, I've got to reach them. If they don't have money, I've got to reach them. If they slept in the gutter last night, I've got to tell somebody. Now hear me and hear me well. Nowhere in the scripture does it imply that all of heaven rejoices when we start another fellowship group in the church. There's not one single verse that says all heaven rejoices when we have another picnic, when we have another cookout, when we have another get together to enjoy one another's company. There's nothing wrong with it, but heaven doesn't rejoice over it. But my Bible says that all heaven throws a party over one sinner, one sinner, one sinner that repents. Hallelujah. Heaven takes note when we touch lost people. Let me never forget the purpose of the church. I cannot become so involved within reach that I'm no longer fulfilling the commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to somebody right now. It's past time for us to take a look at those things that consume our precious energy and our time, but they don't produce results for the kingdom of God. Jesus was accused of eating with sinners. Oh, the beauty of that blasting indictment. Hear me today, preachers. Please feel my heart. I love everybody. I'm preaching. I preached this message about 2 months ago to our church. In fact, the night I preached this message, Gary Bauer, the presidential candidate, was there in our service that night, for the entire service. But hear me. And hear me well. Sometimes we ministers try to put a cocoon around our saints, our precious saints of God, and therefore they wind up not having any friends out there to reach. Is anybody hearing me, young people? You gotta have some friends out yonder. Your best friends have gotta be in the church, but you gotta have some friends out there if you're ever gonna win anybody! If you're ever gonna get involved in His magnificent obsession! I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in that single statement, we find the very purpose of His entire ministry. He's saying, this is my mission. This is why I came. This is my divine purpose. Everything I do has to do with the purpose of evangelism and discipleship of lost individuals. Can anybody feel it today? I wish I could get you to feel it the way I'm feeling it. I wish I could get you to feel for the lost today. I wish I could get you to feel the way Calvary feels for the lost. Is anybody hearing me preach right now? Is anybody saying, I'm getting ready to win somebody? I'm getting ready to get stirred up. Hell's ultimate nightmare is not the blood of Jesus Christ. Hell trembles at the blood. Hell trembles at the name of Jesus. Hell trembles over one God. Hell trembles over baptism in Jesus' name. Hell trembles over worship. But hear me, hell's ultimate nightmare is that one person would catch the magnificent obsession. That one person would get on fire for God. That one person would set their face like a flint. That one person would say, devil, get out of my way. Hell, get out of my way. I've got to reach the lost. 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 Hear me today, students. It's so important that you're in Bible college. I commend you. Some 31 years ago, I was sitting in Bible college where you are today. It's so very important, and I commend you. But in all of your learning, learn everything. Learn it meticulously. But in all of your learning, learn how to win souls. You see, today I need to be reminded what the real business of the church is. The church is in the people business. The church is in the soul business. We're in the business of affecting lives. We're not in the building business. We're not in the music business. We're not in the social club business. We're not in the computer business. But we're in the people business. I preached this to my church, to our church, and I told them this. I said, if Pastor is standing in the way of revival and reaching the lost, then call another pastor. If the deacon board and the elders are standing in the way of revival and reaching the lost, then get another deacon board and get some more elders. If the Sunday school teachers and the musicians are standing in the way of revival and reaching the lost, then get some more Sunday school teachers and get some more musicians, because nothing is important as reaching the lost. Oh God. I've got a great big belt buckle at home. Given to me by a world champion cowboy, horse trainer. We won him and his family several years ago out in North Carolina. There came the point after winning them, they came to the crossroad in their life that Brother Watkins preached so beautifully about this morning. And they decided that they were going to have to leave and seek greener pastures. And so they left. I went and talked to them. My wife and I sat in his office there in the beautiful barns. Talked to he and his wife. He won 13 world championships training quarter horses. And they said, we just don't quite believe it like he preached it. And I looked at him and I said, I want you to know I love you. I brought this gospel to you. But I cannot change. And so we left. And I didn't hear from them for 3 months. I woke up one morning and I felt that I needed to go see them. I told my wife, I said, I need to go out and see them. Their office was about 30, 35, 40 minutes away from the church, north of town. And she said, you go without me. It's too hurtful for me. I drove up there. I was only there about 10 minutes. He was surprised to see me. And he said he knew I was teaching a Bible study at one time up above, another 20 minutes beyond where his office was and his barns were. And he said, are you teaching a Bible study up here? I said, no. I called his name. I said, I just felt like the Lord spoke to me that I need to come see you today. Just let you know I love you. I'm praying for you. What I didn't know was that they hadn't been to church anywhere in 2 weeks. What I didn't know was they had tried churches everywhere. They had tried another church that baptized in Jesus' name and taught very strongly on the Holy Ghost, but taught that standards and holiness, holy righteous living was wrong. They attended every charismatic outfit they could get their hands on. The following Sunday, as I walked into our worship service, I saw them on Friday, I believe it was. And 2 days later, they were there. I walked in and I thought, oh no. My message this morning, my message tonight, they're going to think I'm firing at them. God reminded me, you had both those messages finished by Thursday. I know what I'm doing. I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. They stood on their feet, tears dripping off their chin while I preached, hands outstretched. And they came, and here's what they told me. They said, "Pastor, if you'll just take us back, we still don't understand everything. We can't tell you we agree with everything. But we've been out there enough to know that there's something about taking a stand. There's something about holiness and righteousness that brings the anointing of God into a church." And they said, "What we want to tell you is it doesn't matter what we ever say. Just don't quit preaching it the way you've been preaching it. Please don't." Is anybody hearing me? And for Christmas that year, they gave me a great big belt buckle I have on display in my office now. It's probably that big around. Reminiscent of his world champion belt buckles. He's got world champion belt buckles with rubies and diamonds in them. But this one, without the rubies and the diamonds, is silver, engraved in gold. This is world champion pastor, Mark Foster, 1993. But on the backside, it's engraved, "Shepherd, he left the 99 and sought the one who was astray." And it's signed Dale, Melinda, and Bobby Livingston. What I'm telling you, hear me today, we've got to reach the lost. Is anybody hearing me? We've got to reach the lost. Even when they turn their back on us, even when they walk out, we've got to still love them. Is anybody hearing me? Oh God! Oh God! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is doing something in the house right now to somebody. To somebody. One of our men came to me several months ago. And he said, "Pastor, look down there." And there was a man talking in tongues. He said, "That's my first soul. I've never won a soul." Since then, he's won a half a dozen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's another man that had never won a soul. And now every Sunday morning, there's a man that sits by him in church, hands uplifted, talking in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name, and he's bringing more in. One of our men told me Wednesday night, he came up, he was weeping, and he said, Pastor, God's got a hold of me. Pray for me. I got to be a soul winner. I'm talking to somebody right now. I've got to become obsessed. Oh, friend, there's some that are obsessed with hunting. There's some that are obsessed with golfing. There's some that are obsessed with fishing. There's some that are obsessed with riding horses. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there is if I'm more obsessed with that than with winning the lost. And I close. He went to school. Came on the platform at a district conference in North Carolina. My youngest boy. 16 years old, 5 years in homeschool. My other boy had just graduated. And my wife had homeschooled him for 5 years, and he said, Daddy, Mama, I don't want to be in school by myself. I want to go back to public school. We prayed for him, we talked to him. And at some meeting, maybe it wasn't a district conference, it was maybe a Labor Day rally, first of the school year, he come up on the platform. He gathered the preachers around. He said, "Put your hands on me." I want to win somebody. I want to win a soul. I want to be a soul winner. I want to affect my school. 16 years old, he goes to school and in the choir class. He became popular just overnight. And in the choir class, there was a girl that he said, "Daddy, pray with me about her. She's troubled. She needs God." She came to church. She wore black, all dressed in black. And come to find out, we didn't know it, but she was a pastor's daughter. But one night, she bowed at an altar, repented of her sins, received the Holy Ghost, and got baptized in Jesus' name. She walked in to her mother and daddy's bedroom that night after service. She knocked on the door. They invited her in. She sat on the bed and she said, "Mother and Daddy, I found what I'm looking for. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in being baptized in Jesus' name. And now I want to go to Heaven View Tabernacle all of my life." They called her name and they said, "Well, we're just glad you want to go to church. So go ahead and go right now. And let us try to meet the pastor and his wife and see what these folks believe." So they went to their church where they pastored. She came to our church. We began to get with these people. We made friends out of them. Now you can say about me what you want to, but I call them Brother and Sister Burchell. I go back to when Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus. And before Saul ever had the Holy Ghost or was ever baptized, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me." Hallelujah. One night, what they got to doing, their service started 30 minutes earlier than ours did on Wednesday nights. They got to slipping in late on Wednesday nights. We were having Bible studies together. We were going out to eat one Wednesday night after church. I slipped up and I said, "Brother Burchell, I'd like to take you and your wife out tonight. I understand it's your anniversary." He said, "We'd love that, Pastor, but my wife wants to ask you something first." She looked at me and said, "Pastor, would you baptize me in Jesus' name?" That Sunday morning, we'd already baptized about 5 people that morning. A lot of folks were gone, but there were still a lot of folks there. I'd announced that they were coming. They drove on the parking lot. That day we buried her in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. She began to study the Word of God. She told her daughter, she said, "Parrish, I'm beginning to see the things about separation in the Scripture. And Parrish, I'm getting ready to start letting my hair grow long with you. I'm getting ready to start wearing dresses and get rid of my pants." She said, "I'm getting ready to make the dedications." Oh God. You can be seated. And then she was in the Duke University Medical Center in Durham, awaiting a liver transplant. And I was sitting on an airplane. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how it happened. But the flight attendant said, "Reverend Foster, would you press the call button, please?" I pressed the call button. I brought a note back and said, "This is for you. A message." I've never had that happen, never heard of it happening. And when I looked at it, the tears flooded my eyes. For Sister Burchell had died in surgery. 42 years old, but they were really tears of joy because there was a 42-year-old woman that, because of a 16-year-old boy that says, "I'm obsessed," there's a 42-year-old woman in glory today worshiping around the throne. Is anybody hearing me right now? If a 16-year-old boy can do it, I said, if a 16-year-old boy can do it, you can do it. Let's everybody stand and slip our hands up right now. talk to Jesus right out of our heart. Why don't you lay hands on somebody and say, pray for me. I want to have that obsession. I want to be a soul winner. I've got to reach somebody. I hear somebody wailing. I see tears on faces right now. I've got to tell somebody.